Hi you! You are listening to the Mission Driven Entrepreneur Show with your host Stephanie Smulders, a podcast that helps you uncover your business full potential with the power of authentic marketing, mindset, personality, and flow. We invite driven entrepreneurs to talk about their mission, inspiration, and discover their hidden business treasures. I'm your host and online business coach, Stephanie Smulders, a passionate entrepreneur with 12 years of experience, a full-time traveler, and a lover of unicorns. I believe you are ready for the next step. Let's jump right in. Welcome to the Mission Driven Entrepreneur Show. And today we have Aubrey. She is an intuitive coach who uses art therapy to empower others as a whole. She raises awareness of the subconscious through creativity and working from a holistic perspective. She deeply believes all things are connected and each part of who a client is has important value and place in her coaching. Welcome, Aubrey, to the show. I'm so excited to have you and to have you here and to ask all the things.
I am so excited too. I have admired you for so long. It feels like it's been forever, but when I started my account, you really were one of the first people I connected with. And I just appreciate how you follow your intuition too, because I know we're kind of going to get into that intuitive coaching and those things. But I, you know, starting out didn't have like 100K followers. It was like not many at all. And you still really wanted to talk to me and hear my opinion and points of view. And I feel like the people who do that when the person, say, doesn't have as many followers or isn't exactly where they are, people think someone should be. It's people who are able to look past all that and really see the content and the person. And I'm just so excited that I got to meet you at the beginning of this journey and just see how beautiful that side to you is.
Oh, thank you so much. And I love, actually, it's what I stand for. Like, I don't look at numbers. Yeah. I don't look at what people think they should have. It's more who you are that's important. And I think you stand for the same things.
Yes, completely, completely. And it really is, the more I listen just to that intuition and don't question it, the more I am guided to these women and people I just spiritually on a soul level connect with deeply that are across the world.
Yeah, and literally
I'm talking to through the internet, but there's just still that divine connection between us it's undeniable. And yeah, it's incredible again to do this journey and see that work with myself and others and with my clients too.
Yeah, it's amazing. Can you tell us more about your mission in the world?
Yes. So I really want women to love themselves deeply with gentleness and understanding, giving themselves their dream life, which I think a lot of us coaches, healers, artists even are really driven towards. And I want to have a business that it separates itself from kind of the rat race and that really active masculine energy, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, that's not who I am. And I've had that so ingrained that this is how you are successful. This is how you learn in school with everything. And I want to break women free from that, to be able to stop comparing themselves to others, like stop with competition, learn that we all have something specific and authentic to share, and just really heal those deep inner wounds and love ourselves. And the way I do this is through creativity and really unleashing the subconscious, and then being able to go in and heal those inner wounds, and not only inner wounds, but ancestral with epigenetics. Mm-hmm. It just, using art, using creativity, it's able to see what someone creates without that analytical lens and be able to just look at the raw energy that came out in their work. And the art doesn't lie.
Yeah.
And it gets to that place faster. So it's doing all these things I love with women, as well as bringing in that creative piece for those who want it. A lot of my clients, we don't necessarily do art together. We do different things, but it's not always art. It really depends on the client and the person. I work from a very holistic perspective, taking in their needs and wants and what's going to work for them.
Yeah, I love that. And it so resonates with me, especially the rat race kind of thing and that creativity. Like, I come from a teacher background where kids have to kind of follow, oh, you have to do this to be creative. But everyone in nature is creative. It's just part of who we are, and it's different for everyone. But I'm very curious how you came to this. Like, what parts of your personal story led you to do this for others?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm actually really excited talking about this part because I think so many people in psychology, mm-hmm. like with an interest in that, with art therapy, artists, anyone in this, entrepreneurs, are really going to hear what I have to say and be like, oh yeah, that happened to me in a different way. So I really knew I wanted to be an art therapist when I was 20. So very young. It was my sophomore year of college and I heard about it and it just clicked. I'm like, yes, I love art. I love psychology. I want to use art to help people. This is it. And set out on a mission to do that. And then I went to grad school and I studied art therapy and counseling and I loved my program. I loved the people brought into my life. I felt like I really found my people, like found my tribe there. And I did notice the professors are lovely, but I did notice a lot of them were so drained. They just drained and were like dry. It's like they were running on nothing almost. And I heard about all the things they did. They would be like a professor and a teacher and seeing clients on the side, so many different things. And I just remember thinking, I don't want that. If I could do all that, wonderful, but I don't want to feel like I have to do all these things or that I will be so altruistic that I will burn myself out before I'm, you know, 40 or before, you know, I really get old at all. I mean, 40 is very young and I won't be able to do the work anymore. So I had that really in my mind. And then I went to my internships and, the first internship was at a hospital. I did two simultaneously, which was a lot.
Yeah.
Saying I don't want to do, you know, all those different things. And I was doing it. I was biting off more than I could chew completely. A huge problem saying no. Big problem always saying yes. And not really listening to what my gut was telling me. So at the hospital, the work was incredible. It was also very, very sad and hard. But the thing that affected me the most was being around the staff who, it was very small, and the women there that I worked with, the other art therapists, is just like two others, but there wasn't that support. There wasn't that free expression to talk about how we were really feeling, what we were thinking, what was coming up with the work. And I went from having a space in school where I was so supported and really had that with my professors, with my community of other students, where we got to just like bare our souls to each other and it wasn't judged. And then I didn't have that. And so I just was shut down and I really thought, okay, like, is this even what I'm supposed to do? And I was also told you have to work for years basically without any pay. And I'm like, how's that even going to be possible? Like supporting myself. And you have to do, you know, all these just crazy things in order to then finally make a average amount basically. But you're doing work that's helping people. And I'm like, God, that just sounds horrible. And so I then moved to Brazil and I graduated. And I quickly found out that doing therapy here is extremely bureaucratic and difficult. And you're not
isn't everything in Brazil bureaucratic?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, totally. So I was just like, okay, well then I guess I'm not going to be a therapist till I move back to the US when my husband gets his visa and we can go. And it still didn't feel right because I knew in my mind just all the things I've been told. When I move back, I'd have to work for a place. I'd have to report to someone constantly. I'd have to, you know, hardly get paid anything or not get paid at all. And I knew what I wanted to do, exactly what I wanted to do. And I just had this epiphany, like, why aren't you doing it? Do it. And so I started calling myself a coach and calling myself a life coach. And I still have that therapeutic lens and that therapeutic background. And I think no matter what job I would do, I would always have that. And I have, you know, being all the way through grad school and before that, working my little odd jobs outside of it. I was at a coffee shop or as a host at a restaurant. I would always be asking people things like, so when's your birthday? When have you ever thought about this? Why are you working so hard? Have you ever stopped to think about, you know, why you're doing this? And had just these deep conversations always. So, and I've noticed this with other coaches too, where a lot of the coaches, they honestly are better therapists. I'm going to get a lot of maybe not so good comments about this, but they can be better therapists than actual therapists, because I really think it is about following more of that intuition and what, you know, you're being told to tell the person to help them and help guide them, than following a very clinical rules and steps. It just doesn't work for me. With the most impactful therapists and professors I've met, they have followed that intuitive lens. They have really been in that woo-woo
yeah.
state, but there's magic there. And I've just decided to have my coaching model that.
I love that. And I can definitely relate to that, being in the traditional therapy kind of setting myself and having a coach and a mentor. It's a different kind of environment. Like you go to therapy sessions and it's the same kind of thing, the same kind of questions. They see 10 people in a day. They don't even remember your name. And it's not for everyone. I'm just maybe making this a typical experience, but for me it was that kind of experience. It did help. I would say it helped me a lot because I was 18-19 kind of going through crazy stuff in my life, and it helped me. But if I would look back, I would rather have a coach or someone who intuitively looked at me and what I needed, and not so much follow a textbook that they've learned in school. So
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I totally feel that. And I love that you have that background, but you put your own kind of magic over it.
Yeah. And I love working with, like, as a coach instead. And it does mean that I do have to be careful when it comes to certain clients I see. Like if someone clearly does need to, you know, go immediately to a hospital, or they're having very severe suicidal ideation, things like that, like they're not someone I should see, even if I was just working from a therapeutic lens, like just as an art therapist online, like they do need to go to a facility where they can be monitored, seen, and really helped in that way. So there is that responsibility piece with it. But it, I mean, it just, it is, it's a different, deeper relationship. And yeah, and that's not to say that all therapists don't have that. That's not true at all. Or that people don't get things out of therapy. I've had some therapists that have been just phenomenal and I'm so grateful for and always will be. But I really had that exact same experience as a whole that you're talking about, where I dreaded going to therapy. I truly dreaded it. I was like, wow, what are they going to tell me today about how, like, all these things I have to change and how I'm like not good enough and like point out all these things, instead of it being more of, oh, let's heal this together and really do the work right now. Like, let's do it now. And it's just different. It is. But it depends on the person. It depends on the therapist. So not bashing therapy. It's wonderful, beautiful. It's what got me here.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And if you would teach me or do one exercise with me or with a client, what is your favorite kind of thing to do with creativity and your intuition?
Oh, so many.
Yeah.
It really depends on the person and their way of thinking and what they want to do. So I really love doing meditations. That is something I'm going to bring into my work more. I always share it immediately after my first consult with clients, different meditations they can do to really help them ground. One thing I love doing with people is, do you know what a mandala is?
Yeah, the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, for people that don't know, mandala, it's like a circle.
Yeah.
And then within that circle, you can create anything. And mandalas are wonderful because, again, it's unlocking that subconscious, just letting anything unleash itself, come out, and using that as a check-in. So maybe playing on a timer for 15 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever it is, and then journaling about what came up right after. That's something I used to do often, like almost every day, as instead of a journal of, you know, checking in what's going on in the morning, doing that mandala and then writing about it.
Yeah.
So lots of different check-ins are great places to start with clients with art therapy, and then we can go in and do deeper stuff. And it really depends on the person. So with some, they're going to show up and they're going to be just like these wild women who are very creative. They're ready to rumble. And with them, a lot of the time I'll be like, okay, let's start drawing immediately during this session. And they'll just start moving their hand while, you know, talking to me and looking at me. And it's like calming them. And they don't really care what comes up. They just are in the moment. And then there are others, most others, who have been taught that art has to look a certain way and be a certain way. Yes, I'm more of that one for sure. So I had to really break out of that, especially being in art school before going on to my master's, where it was all being critiqued, every line, every mark, and just gross. Nothing I like. So being able to work with those people, it might be some really uncomfortable, awkward things that I have them do at first, like creating a drawing with their non-dominant hand, or using things that maybe flow a lot, like watercolor, different paints where they don't have that same control, but being able to tell them during it that like it is okay and still looking for that beauty in the piece. Or if I was physically with the person, there's this line chase drawing where you start, the client or you starts drawing a line and the other person chases it. And these two lines, they're like two almost parallel lines that are just following like crazy around the page and then create something together. And it's really just getting out of that, oh, I have to create a picture that looks like something or is beautiful, and instead unleashing just whatever is meant to come out on the page.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to inspire so many people, because I have a lot of people who are creative, but they had this box. Like when you were talking, I was doing the box, right? Like it has to look a certain way. It has to be perfect. People, if they want to buy this or if they want to have something, like everyone has a kind of opinion about their art. So they tend to make something for others and not for themselves. So I love that you gave some really good ideas for people. Now, if you're listening this, you can just pause, go and do the exercise and then come back and do it again. Yeah, I think I would love to do that as well. Like I'm not really that creative anymore. I used to, but now I don't really take the time. So if you are that perfectionist and you want to have your art be perfect, what would you tell or have someone do for that, for perfectionism and making sure that everything is within the checkbox?
There is some tiptoeing around it. It's because like we have to, art therapists or coaches, you know, I have to gauge how far I can help push someone without them being triggered to a point where it's like really hurting them and they're bringing up something that is, it's very hard to work through. So there has to be like an easy glide into it depending on the person. So if they're telling me, you know, during it, like, hey, I'm not comfortable with this. Like I'm getting like really uncomfortable, really worked up. We might need to grab a pen or do something else, do something that's more healing, or get them in their body and just have them squeeze like clay, something like that. Like just not, then worry about creating the piece we were working on. So it depends on the person and if they're willing and ready to go there, and if not, taking baby steps towards that. And like I said, like all my sessions right now, we do a lot of the art outside of the session, and then they bring it in after and we look at it together. And especially in like the women's groups and everything I want to be starting, I would like us to all do that art together and that creative process together. And, you know, not being able to say like, oh, that's so good or anything like that, or calling your work bad or ugly, but just really saying whatever shows up is meant to show up. With one client recently, she wanted to really unleash her intuition and trust her psychic abilities more, and trust just that part of her that knows something is happening and to pay attention. And I told her, let's just go wild, because yeah, she is someone that's ready for that. And I said, I want you to get like a big sheet of paper, a big canvas, a big anything, like it could be a giant white bed sheet, whatever, and just go wild. Get like anything you're drawn to, dirt, shaving cream, paint, stick, like anything, and just start throwing it on there and unleashing it and see what comes up and comes out. And a lot of the times when doing that kind of work, we really are releasing emotions that we needed to let go of, to then step back and take a look and see the creative process. But yeah, I've done some pieces like that myself, and they've been extremely healing.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to do that. How did you develop
your... I know, doesn't it sound fun?
Yeah, it sounds so much fun. Like I want to do this and see what my intuition has to show me, or what kind of emotion will come up. Is that also the process that was for you? Like, how did you develop your intuition more?
It's been through art, and it's been through other parts of life. Definitely. Like I grew up always being taught to pray a lot and listen to God and those kinds of things, but it's now developed into that's just a part of me and always has been. So, and always will be. So it's like with whatever I do, I know that I am divinely guided. I know that I am taken care of, and really trusting that more with whatever the outcome is that I'm told to do, but just kind of acting on it and not really questioning it has led me to magic. Like it just keeps leading to magic. And it is like the more I see that happen, the more, you know, I want to do that. And I think, you know, with this work, there really is that mindset piece of affirmations and giving myself just these affirmations that will help me with my intuition constantly throughout my day.
Which is your favorite affirmation?
Yeah, it's the one I said. I am divinely guided. Because then there's just that trust there with everything, with the art, with the crazy art, with wanting to reach clients and people, with wanting to have really real conversations with people, where it's like, yeah, I can do that and it will be okay. Because I know I'm working from a place of truth and of love, so I know it will be okay.
Yeah, that trust part, I think that's so important for people, that actually trusting themselves and not looking outside of themselves for guidance or information or acknowledgement of something. And I would love to hear from you what kind of things you've seen happen with trusting your intuition, like what kind of magical things have happened in your life because of this?
Oh gosh, so many. It's unreal. I mean, really, just every time I really followed my gut, something, it led to something magic. Like the undergrad school I went to, people made fun of that school a little bit in my hometown because they're like, oh, it's like kind of close to home and it's a party school and all this stuff. And I really was set on going to an art school, but something was telling me no. Something was telling me you're actually supposed to do more than just be an artist and do something else along with that. And so I listened to it. I had no idea what was going to happen. And then it took some time. It was my sophomore year, so 2 years in, and I found art therapy. And these things just happen all the time. With my husband, I saw him and I was just blown away by how attractive he was. And of course, it's like it was more than that. It was like just this draw to him. And I haven't had that intense of a feeling where it's like, I have to talk to this person. Not just, oh, I want to flirt with him, he's cute, but I have to talk to him. And I did. And we instantly clicked. And so that's another time I just really listened to that. I didn't listen to, oh, well, his face doesn't look like he's, you know, nice or having a good time. Like, it seems like he might be pretty annoyed with me because I can definitely come off as very bubbly and ditzy to some people when I like first meet them because I'm very happy, lively. But I was like, I have to talk to him, and did. And it was great. And he told me he wanted to talk to me so badly, but he thought I was married. Because I used to wear a ring on my wedding finger, but it was just from my mom. And I definitely wasn't married. So yeah, he's like, yeah, I was never going to talk to you. I was like, well, what if you found out I wasn't? He's like, nope, no, I wouldn't think that you would go for me. So I was like, well, I'm glad I did that because here we are now. And with grad school, I knew immediately the school I wanted to go to, went there, and it worked out. With him, our marriage was a huge jump too, because we've spent over triple the time apart that we were actually together, and we're broken up during most of it, but still got married like quickly, but just knew, yeah, we were supposed to. So it's just following those gut things. It's led to, I mean, just unreal and beautiful and incredible things happening. Starting this business, like,
yeah,
I started a little over a month ago, and here I am talking to you now. And I think that's something too. I felt like I was getting this message today of wanting to tell people on here that, you know, with me, this happened so quickly, and I'm not like financially crazy successful yet or anything like that. Like, I know I will be, like, things will be like awesome, amazing, what I want them to be. But my business, what I've been doing for a long time, but my business online started just a little over a month ago and has exploded. And it can for you. It can for anyone. Don't think you have to, you don't have to go to grad school. You actually don't even have to go to college to be doing this stuff, honestly. Like, it's not, I had to because I had to learn a lot of things about myself. And I really love learning so much. But if you're being told to do something, just do it. And especially if it's something that it's for you, it's for good, it's not hurting anyone, you know, or anything like that. But yeah, if you feel really called to do something, to talk to someone, take that step and just see what happens.
It's so good to hear you say that, because people think, oh, when I start my business, I need to have my website set up, I need to have a financial plan, I need to have my marketing strategy, I need to have all these things before I can do something. And what I've seen you do is just, you have an intuition, you have a pain, you just brainstorm about it, I think, for yourself, and then you unleash it to the world, and people immediately respond to it. It's because you do it from a place of, it's an authentic place. You're not going to make an offer if it doesn't feel aligned for you. And I think that's an important message to give to people as well. Like, you don't need to have a lot of things in order to start your own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. And it's, you know, it is so much more than, 'cause like I've said constantly in my on my Instagram page and to clients, to everyone, I believe with all my heart, everything is connected. And so, yeah, there doesn't need to be all of these steps done before something. You will learn what you're supposed to along the way and have those people put into your life that you're supposed to meet. And tell yourself that, like, keep saying it. And I say this because, like, I do have that very flowy, you know, feminine side to me that naturally believes all this, but I have also that academic research and, you know, learning about neuroplasticity and learning about positive mindset and neuroscience and all these research studies that back this up. Like, it is real. And living in that, your life, it changes.
Yeah. I love that you said the researcher in you, because you told me before that you're a projector 1-3 and your one line is called the researcher. So it means that you very much have this going deep and understanding something before you come out and trial and error it, which is your 3 line, just doing something and see if it sticks and if it works for you. So I love that you're actually following your design already.
Oh, that's so cool hearing that from you too, because yeah, I don't know if I said this on here, but I did learn about human design very recently. And I was looking up, that researcher side, like everything I could about it immediately at like 3 a.m. or something. And I saw one guy on YouTube talk about a 1-3. So for other 1-3s out there, it was the most depressing thing. He was like, you guys are so insecure, and you're the person that's like basically in the corner in the shadow of a room, and then at a party, and then you'll come talk to people. And I was like, okay, I don't feel like this is any of my experience. Like, maybe he's going to say something in there that clicks and fits, but none of this feels like me at all. I'm very act on spontaneity. And kind of always have. And Yeah, so I really love hearing from you something that resonates more and really fits. And yeah, shout out to Stephanie on being just a boss with this stuff and knowing so much about it. I can't wait to talk to you about this stuff sometime. You just know so much, and it's so cool. And I want to learn about yours really badly. The 6-2, is that it? Or 2-6?
6-2, okay. Yes. 6-2. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We can have a conversation about that. I love to nerd out on these things. And especially I love to talk with people who have the one line, because they will be able to go so deep into a topic that for other people, it goes over their head because they're like, you lost me somewhere, because all of the information, all of these facts, all of these things, that's a little bit too much. So, when you were talking about, oh, I went to school and I had to go to school, but you don't have to if that doesn't feel right, I was like, oh, this is so your one line talking, that school is kind of a thing to learn, to go deep, to understand myself. That is amazing to hear as well. And I saw recently on your Instagram that you have done a 30-day self-love challenge.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear what self-love means for you, because it's not only taking bubble baths and eating chocolate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what does it mean for you, self-love?
So one way I really look at this is self-love is, I mean, it's obviously showing yourself love, showing yourself self-care, but it does go so much deeper. And I've learned this by experience. So I remember being so burnt out in school, like, you know, working, leading a few different groups, clients, schoolwork, and jobs, like insane amount of work, and then having a day or a weekend where I spent the entire time in bed binging something in the dark and eating way too much food, like to the point where I wanted to like throw up so much food, like my belly felt just awful. And I was like, oh, well, this is, you know, cheat day and it's like self-care, and it wasn't at all. And I mean, I still have those days where I lay in bed and just read something or watch things a lot. Like, I still definitely have that time, but it's intentional and it's with a more mindful approach. So, like, okay, does this still feel good? Hour two of watching Modern Family, does this still feel good? Whatever it is. Or do I need to get up and stretch? Do I need to play with my dog? Do I need to kiss my husband and interrupt whatever he's doing with work because it's funny and fun? Like, what do I have to do right now for myself? So really being much more mindful of what self-care and self-love looks like to you specifically. It's going to be different to you than it will be to other people. And when you're giving yourself that time, you are telling yourself that you love yourself. So it's like many different forms too. Self-love is not just the pampering luxury. And I mean, that is a part of it. That's an awesome part of it. The baths, the
part.
Chocolate. Yeah. Yes, the flowers. But there also is like the practical piece to it too. The doing laundry one day, so you have like those clothes and things done for yourself. And I always thank myself and I say, oh yes, Aubrey, like thank you, like to my past self for doing something that you know, I don't want to do now, but I did it in the past and got it done. I'm like, yes, thank you so much for doing that. So it is like that practical piece too, where it is finding foods and things that are nourishing us. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at this, because yes, this is something I'm working on, but finding foods, exercises, things that nourish us, stepping outside and being in the sun and fresh air, it is practical, it is spiritual, it is emotional. Having a therapist, having a coach, having a friend who is very supportive to talk to, emotional, drawing your feelings, playing the piano, you know, that side of it. And then it is, yeah, the spiritual side too, getting that sunlight, dancing to music, drinking lots of water, being very grateful for things you walk by around your house or outside. So it's all those pieces in one. And again, it's because every single thing is connected. So taking care of all those self-care things. Yeah. And what feels good to you? It doesn't have to be an obligation. You can make it fun. Like, okay, so your body feels like it wants to move. It's stagnant. It wants to move. You don't have to go lift crazy weights or go on a run if you don't want to. What do you want to do? Do you want to dance? Put on your favorite song and dance. Do you want to just stretch? Go do that. Whatever it is. Do you want to do jumping jacks or jump rope? Or it could be anything. It just has to be fun and fitting with what you want to do. And sorry, I know I've talked about this a lot, but it is just so important to me when it comes to really learning to love yourself, because when we love ourselves, we love others so mm-hmm. much. And when we're not doing this work, shouldn't even say work, when we're not giving and allowing ourselves this necessary time of love and reflection, we can build up things like resentment and anger and not stop and reevaluate, okay, what is working for me right now? What is good for me right now? What can I put into my life more? What can I let go of? And when we have people around us, any form of relationship, but I'm not a mom yet, but I think especially with parents, when you model this to your children, it's going to help them so much. It's not just telling them, oh, self-care, but when you tell your kids, hey, I'm taking 30 minutes tonight to take a bath, or, you know, immediately when they go to bed doing that and being like, oh, yep, this is mommy's time now, bath time, or whatever it may be, you are modeling to them that that's something they have to have in their life too. And it's necessary and it's okay.
Wow. I hope people hear this and actually be like, I'm going to do something fun or listen to my body or to my intuition a lot more, because I think that's the whole purpose of our conversation now today. It's to listen to yourself and valuing yourself. And when you talked about doing the laundry and making it fun and looking at, oh, I did this for myself, I have so much laundry to do, and I really resent it.
I do too.
Yeah. And you were talking, I was like, oh, I'm going to look at this as I'm going to make my clothes pretty for me, so when I need them, they will be there. So that's like
exactly.
a mind shift. So like, thank you for making this mind shift for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. It's almost like this motherly part of ourselves, taking care of ourselves. Like, Aubrey, I'm going to clean out your closet for you today. And I'm going to make it really fun. I'm going to go get your favorite Starbucks drink, or I'm going to go put on like your favorite music or podcast while you do this, or show, whatever it may be. Whenever I've had to do something I don't necessarily want to do, I always find some way to make it fun or reward myself, always. So it becomes something I want to look forward to. I save my favorite podcasts for when I do dishes, so I can listen to them when I do dishes, and I get really excited to listen to them. And then I forget about, you know, the fact that I'm doing dishes, and also look at them when I'm done. I'm like, oh, yes, thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, I love
that. Kind
that.
Of Mama Aubrey.
Yeah.
Mama Stephanie. Yeah.
Exactly.
Future you.
Mm-hmm. That's so amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that as well. And I think I want to wrap up with my last question as to what does a mission-driven entrepreneur mean to you? That word, how do you embody that?
I mean, I definitely see it as finding what specifically works for you and not looking at what everyone else is doing. And there is such a balance to this, because it is okay to get inspired by what other coaches and people say. That's fine. It doesn't mean that you know, just sit there and you never listen to anybody and just create your own thing. Like, no, you don't have to make it that hard on yourself. If something resonates with you that someone else is saying, use it, do it, it's fine. I know you have a lot of great content around helping people with strategies and specific things. So yeah, listen to those things, but then find you know, what really works for you specifically. Because, you know, the way I strategize or the way that I go about my business, it won't be the same as you. It won't be the same as another projector 1-3 or another person born on the exact same day as me or another ENFP, whatever it is. Like, it will be totally authentic, individualistic to me. So really listening to what you want to bring in the world, not comparing yourself to others that are similarly doing things that you do, because there's room for everyone. There's room for everybody. And there's no competition. There's no comparison. That stuff is linked to fear, and fear is not for you, you know?
Wow. I'm so going to quote you on this.
I kind of feel very churchy right now. I feel like I'm preaching a little bit right now. Just that, like, fear is not for you. Like, love is for you. But it is true. I mean, it really is true. Like, love and light is the essence of who I believe we all are. And making sure, being an entrepreneur, that you are actually going about any part of your life, making sure that you are moving through life from a place of love and joy and peace. What brings you joy? What do you want to do? What excites you? Not what you're afraid of. Not being afraid of not being the best or not making all the money or all, like, these scarcity things, like, not working from that place, but really working from that joyful place.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that and for sharing so many things. I feel like this episode is so impactful for people, all about creativity and listening to your intuition and self-care. Like, we talked about a lot of things, and thank you so much for being so open. I appreciate that a lot. And if people want to connect with you and learn more from you, where can they do that?
My Instagram is the best place right now. So my Instagram, it's Aubrey Unbreakable, A-U-B-R-E-Y, and then Unbreakable. And I will be having lots of courses coming up. The first one is going to be about body love and working with a lot of what we talked about today. That love, getting rid of that comparison, getting rid of that self-judgment. And when we do that, we get rid of our judgment towards others. And it's going to be incredible. I'm in the process of launching, creating this right now. And then also we'll have, they're not necessarily, they're like support groups, but they will be closed groups. So we can really have that safe space to talk about things without people coming in and out. But that will be starting in September with my mother, actually, who is a licensed mental health therapist and has been doing this work for a long time. So we're going to be doing those together in September. To sign up for those and get more information, you just have to email me through my Instagram again. My email is in my bio. And yeah, there's a lot of things coming up that I'll be doing. And I do one-on-one coaching too. But yes, lots of different things. I'm really excited to start and share with people.
Me too. Thank you so much for sharing this. And I will link your Instagram and everything in the show notes. So if people want to learn more about you, they can click there and find out. And thank you so much for being here.
You have reached the end of another episode of the Mission Driven Entrepreneur Show. Be sure to visit stephaniesmulders.com to access the show notes and discover the fantastic bonus content. Make sure to sign up for the freebie wall to get access to all the extra material. If you've loved this episode, I would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is so, so appreciated. Thank you so much for listening today, and I will speak to you very soon.